Thank you very much, Lauren. Hey, everyone. Happy Thursday. It's May 12th, and Your Money Matters is just around the corner. Two great guests today. Tom Appel, he loves to come on and talk about cars, all things cars. And we talk about electric vehicles and hybrids and how much money you'll save for gas. Well, the states are figuring out a way to still get theirs. Are there going to be surcharges for having a more green vehicle? Of course there are, because I just got a hybrid, and that's how that works. And we're also going to be chatting with Greg Bracco from People's Bank about, look, I know a lot of people are starting businesses, or they are small business owners who are looking for a little bit of capital. Greg and the folks at People's Bank do a great job about that. He's going to be here to answer your questions. And a texter just came through in the clutch. If you're wondering, did I apply for that Facebook lawsuit? I'm going to tell you how you're going to be able to find out whether you did or didn't, in case you didn't remember, after this on Your Money Matters. I'm John Hanson on this Thursday evening. This is like the Friday version of Your Money Matters, because we're not on tomorrow, so it's your little Friday Eve. I really quickly want to give a shout-out to one of the texters. I was wondering the same thing from Lisa Dent's show when she was talking about people getting paid for the Facebook settlement. My brother told me he got it in direct deposit today. I have it, and I could have sworn that I had filed it. And a texter said, hey, go in your email, and in the search bar, type in KCC. It might seem strange to you, but if you do that and you hit search, what it's going to do is show you the email you got back confirming your Facebook biometric information privacy litigation class action claim.
I got it.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you get the money or
no.
you got but you didn't do the claim?
Yes, I did. And I went back. Thank you, caller. And apparently I did it in 2020.
So did I.
I filed.
September
you
24th. Yeah. It was probably because Steve Bertrand told me to
yes,
do it.
We were all doing it the same day. Now I remember.
And yeah, because it comes from an email. It's like a do not reply. So you can't email this person at KCCLLC. So if you just enter KCC, that should be there, and it gives you a peace of mind. And if you don't see it there, then most likely you didn't do it, and you missed out on almost $400 free bucks. And I feel bad for you.
So if this is there, we should get it, right? And just maybe not today.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, Mary.
Oh, boy.
But someday. Yes.
Oh, great.
They say
we've waited 2 years.
Yeah, they say it takes about 2 weeks, right? Because I couldn't even remember. It was so long ago.
Yeah.
You know, the big story, though, today, and we've been chatting about it here on air, is the shocking absence of baby formula. A lot of it due to a recall, I know, at Abbott. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki talked about the steps that the administration is going to take to try and get baby formula back on the shelves without compromising safety.
These steps include cutting red tape to get more infant formula to store shelves quicker by urging states to provide consumers flexibility on the types of formula they can buy with WIC dollars, calling on the FTC and state attorneys general to crack down on any price gouging or unfair market practices related to sales of infant formula, like third-party sellers reselling formula at steep prices, and increasing the supply of formula through increased imports. The Biden-Harris administration will continue to monitor this situation and identify other ways we can support the safe and rapid increase in the production and distribution of baby formula.
And Abbott is restarting their baby formula plant, but it's not just switching on a dime. They say they can get more product on the store shelves in 8 to 10 weeks. Iridian, our great producer, was looking on Amazon and seeing pretty high prices, although it's like packets of formula mix, six of them for $155. That seems like a lot to me, although I don't have the price from a year ago to compare it, so I don't want to say specifically that we know there's price gouging on Amazon, but it does seem steep to me. What are you seeing on the shelves at the grocery stores and the places near you? 312-981-7200. If we can at least let some people know who are desperate for it, maybe where they might be able to find it, we can connect some dots. 312-981-7200. And one more Chicago business story I wanted to get to before we take our break. Do you guys use Redbox anymore? You still see them out there. Lauren, you are finding some DVDs of the old
gosh.
Redbox?
Oh, my gosh. Redbox? I actually didn't know that still was a thing.
100%. Mary, you getting your big picks from Redbox?
No. There's still some. I think there's one outside my Walgreens.
There is.
So, yeah.
There absolutely is. And the company actually sold, but fear not, because they are not going away. They sold to the Chicken for the Teenage Soul or Chicken for the Soul Entertainment Company.
Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul. Yeah, those books, right?
Yes, they have a company. It's called Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. boy, I wish I could have gone back 20 years and started writing books like that. But anyways, they sold it for about $375 million, and they say that they will continue dispensing DVDs for years to come at Jewel, Walgreens, and other stores. I just thought that they stopped doing it, but someone had left the boxes behind. Like, no one had come to claim them yet.
How many people even still have a DVD player?
Yeah, right? And are they still a dollar?
I don't know. 312-981-7200. If you went to the store and got a DVD and some baby formula, we want to hear from you. And plenty of other questions along the way. But anyways, rest assured, your Redbox lovers still going to have it, even though the company was sold. All right, we're going to talk to Tom Appel about what is happening in terms of states putting surcharges on electric vehicles. Let's take a look at those roadways and the weather. Hot day, Mary Vanderbilt. 219, please repeat the address to check on the Facebook claim. I went in my email and I just typed in the letters KCC in the search bar, and that brought up the email. The full email is KCCLLC.com. Now, if you deleted that email, you may not find it, right? So if I'm someone that just kind of keeps my emails there, as long as they're read, I don't really need to delete them all. And they told me to keep it. It's in the email, the records of it. So I have a confirmation number and everything. Someone texted in that they got denied for the claim. My son and I both filled it out. I was rejected. I don't know why. My son heard nothing and got his check today. I went back to the original form, and you had to have been in Illinois for like 183 days, and you have had to have maybe posted a photo where your face was scanned in a certain way. So there were some people that maybe didn't fall under that.
So it would tell you, though, right, if you were rejected?
I responded to the text. I'm wondering, and the texture,
yeah,
if they're
that's
listening.
What I'm interested
let me
in.
Know if they let you. I would assume so, because if they said that they were rejected, they would know by now, right? Because none of us know for sure.
Yeah, mine's just a confirmation.
Yeah,
that
I don't
they
know.
Got it. Yeah.
Maybe we got rejected, Mary.
No,
we're
we
just
might
not
have.
Cool enough for it. We were kind of making fun of DVDs, but Scott, really quickly before we get to Tom. Hey, Scott, you got a good use for them, right?
Yeah, you're loading up the family minivan, John. Take the kids on a road trip, and you swing by and pick up a DVD to stick in the car to keep them busy.
There you go. So you're keeping Redbox going, huh?
Yeah, and then you drop it off at wherever you land. There's another Redbox.
True.
Pull the car in and pick up a fresh one.
There you go. Scott, do you work for Redbox? You seem like a good advocate for what they did. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, take care, John.
773. I rent a DVD at Redbox every 3 weeks to watch while I donate platelets. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I just gave blood last week, and there was a guy next to me doing platelets, and he was watching a movie.
Did he have a little mini DVD player?
And they have a big library stack. They say, pick out your DVD.
Okay.
He goes and picks it out and
right.
puts it in, because you have to sit there for 2 hours.
We had a caller who came out, who didn't want to come on the air, who was just saying that they save a lot of money by having a DVD player and just going to the library and renting them for free. So we were too quick to judge. Hey, we got to get to Tom Appel. He's the publisher of Consumer Automotive. Are you a Redbox guy, Tom? You ever rent any DVDs?
I used to rent DVDs. I haven't rented a DVD in a very long time, and I've never done it from Redbox.
Yeah, well, there you go. You can still do it. Don't worry. Okay, let's talk about this. I just bought a hybrid, so here I am thinking I'm going to save all this money on gas, and I am getting great mileage. I know people getting electric vehicles. Of course, a lot of states fund things through a gas tax, which people who have those vehicles pay less for, and now some states are starting to ding them. They're trying to find a way to get their money, right, Tom?
Yeah, we're in a really weird position right now where the same government that is incentivizing the purchase of an electric vehicle, right, $7,500 federal tax credit, Illinois has got $4,000 on the table, these same governments want to tax you because they're going to lose revenue from gas tax. So it's a very complicated situation.
Right, and usually the gas tax, and correct me if I'm wrong, usually goes directly into maybe the infrastructure fund for highways and roads, right?
That's a lot of it, yeah.
And so I get what they, like, they have these projects, they need them. These cars still go on the roadways and still create the wear and tear, even if they're not hurting the environment as much. So you can see why they don't want to see those numbers going down, right, Tom?
No, and those numbers are pretty big. I churned some sort of numbers and I was checking this stuff out. But if we if there are just 14,000 electric vehicles on the road in Illinois right now, and that seems to be what there is, this year, if we just count their gas tax they don't pay, that comes to $13.5 million
Whoa.
At this very early stage in the EV revolution.
Yeah, right. And you're right to be doing it right now, because those 13,000, as we continue to look in the forecast, will be keeping going up and up. And you're not even including hybrids in that, are you?
No, not including hybrids.
And obviously hybrids, while you are still going to be filling up your gas tank, in theory you're doing it less and less and less revenue. How many states are doing this, Tom?
I've got a list here of, I think, 18 states that have... Right now, it's just a registration tax that the state is charging. In 18 states, it's about $100 a year. That number is certainly going to go up. And we're going to see city stickers go up for electric vehicles, too.
Yeah. And I mean, what do they say about it? Are they just being flat honest? Like, we need your money, and good for you on getting a hybrid or an electric vehicle, but sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, that is basically what the argument is. And it makes some sense. Electric vehicles, of course, they're going tax-free in terms of fuel. And, you know, in Illinois, it seems like we're perpetually doing road work that someone's got to pay for.
Yeah, for, you better believe that. How are we looking in general for electric vehicles and hybrids? Any loosening up of some supply chain shortages? Or are we still in a tough spot, like all vehicles?
It depends on the manufacturer. General Motors, for example, is predicting huge sales of the Bolt. That's with a B. That vehicle was on hiatus for a little while because they had a problem with a few battery fires. But Kia and Hyundai have new vehicles, the EV6, for example, and the Hyundai Ioniq 5. Those are selling very well, and Hyundai seems to have the supply chain nailed down. So they're building a lot of those things.
Any updates on Rivian? I know that they can still continue to say they're going to be meeting these expectations, although I know they did have a recall on some of their first trucks off the line.
Yeah, Rivian was everyone's darling, and obviously the IPO went well, and everyone wanted to get in on Rivian. Had a really bad first quarter. They lost about $2 billion, I think it was, and they're having a hard time with supply chain issues and just getting things built. So this next quarter is going to be very telling for that company.
By the way, I didn't ask the key question, or maybe you answered it and I had moved on in my head to something else. Is Illinois on that list, by the way, for taxing these electric vehicles and hybrids?
Yes, it is. It's about $100, I think.
Really? So when do we get that bill? Is it for hybrids too? I just, as someone who just bought one, I haven't seen anything come in the mail yet.
I think it's just for EVs, and I think it may apply when you register the vehicle.
Ah, okay. So just EVs here in Illinois. All right, Tom, thanks for breaking it down. We always appreciate when you stop by.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Thanks.
Great. Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Automotive. Hey, tell you what, we do have a question of the day today. I'm going to read it now. We might have a chance for one answer before the news. It's kind of a longer question, though, so stick with me on this one as I scroll down my sheet to find it. In 1860, a man named Henry started publishing an investor's guide to the railroads. In 1906, a man named Luther founded Statistics Bureau, which provided information on anything but the railroads. Those two companies merged in 1941, and their new name we say almost every day on this show, we refer to their initials. Henry started a guide for railroads. Another guy said not railroads. They merged together. Their company is known by their initials, which we say nearly every day. That might be the longest question of the day. We'll take a break, then the news, and maybe if someone understood that question, we'll get an answer coming up on Your Money Matters. 720 WGN, Your Money Matters here at 639. Before we get to Greg Bocco, let's see if we can get an answer to the question of the day. It was the longest answer I've ever asked on air. In 1860, a man named Henry started a publisher's investing guide to railroad companies. In 1906, a man named Luther started one providing information about anything but railroads. Those two companies merged in 1941. What was their new name? We know them by their initials, and we say it every day. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I appreciate it. Great question, too. Would it be Mr. Standard & Poor?
And that's correct. And what are the initials that we say every day?
S&P, that was the clue that gave it away for me. I thought, you do say that every day, Standard
& Poor. Yeah, these two companies merged in 41. They had already started the indices a couple of years before that. But yes, Standard & Poor. Hey, Dan, stay on the line. We're going to get you a WGN t-shirt, okay?
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Great show.
Thanks
for
calling. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, let's pivot over to commercial banking and commercial lending. And for that, we've got a great guest on mic number four here. Joining us today is Greg Bracco. He's with People's Bank, the Chief Business Banking Officer. Greg, thanks for hopping on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And absolutely. And you've been in this commercial lending business for a while, right?
Yeah, I've been in banking for 34 years, started out on the consumer side, and I moved over to commercial lending. Been with People's Bank since 2015.
What do you like about commercial lending? It must be fun to help people either start or expand their business.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and every deal is different, so it's nice to look at, you know, every deal.
What is it? Is it a good time to start a business or to expand your business here in Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana, which I know is where you're at?
Yeah, I think it is. The economy is still strong. Interest rates are ticking up a little bit, but there's still a lot of activity out there. So I do think it is.
Did a lot of businesses maybe that were able to do okay during COVID take opportunities to improve their businesses? They saw that as maybe an opportunity. Hey, if it's a business that is a brick and mortar, maybe not as many people coming in and out, we're going to invest a little bit more into our business. Did you see that a lot?
Yeah, a lot of businesses pivoted and went to a different model. And we did a lot of the PPP loans when that was around.
Oh, yeah.
And that helped a lot of businesses stay in business.
I was going to say, have you talked to businesses that said without those PPP loans, we'd be in a different place right now?
For sure. Yes. Yeah.
So what are the difficulties right now for a business? What are the tough spots?
Yeah, really the biggest challenge what we're seeing with businesses is supply chain issues and hiring qualified people. That's mm-hmm. their biggest challenge. I've talked to some businesses today. There's more work they can do, but they just don't have the staff to fulfill those jobs.
They just it's a matter of they can't match the wages, or just there really are not people that are even coming in the door for the wages they have.
Yeah, it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very competitive market right now.
Supply chains, any loosening up that you feel? Is it just kind of it depends on what product they're looking for? Some are coming through, some are not?
That's right. It's better than it was, but it's still a little bit delayed.
Right. What sorts of business sizes do you work with, either you yourself personally or with People's Bank? Is it, you know, maybe that mom and pop store that's just looking to get a new refrigerator for their restaurant, right? Like they want to make a big investment. Is it someone, an individual who maybe came up with a new thing in COVID and, oh my gosh, it's turned out to be a bigger thing than I thought? Are they big businesses? Who do you work with?
Yeah, as a community bank, we work with all types of businesses. You know, we can do loans up our legal lending limits up to $20 million.
Oh,
so
wow.
We've got a pretty good range to work with these businesses.
What is the first step for a business if they realize we need a little bit more capital?
Yeah, if it's a new business, really the first step would be to develop a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people fail to do that, and that's really important to kind of put your concept down on paper. And then look at your projections. Have your revenue, your expenses. Does this make sense? And will this work?
Mm-hmm. I mean, really detail it out.
Right.
And are you looking like for a business plan that is, here's what we're going to do in the first month, 6 months, 1 year? It's you're looking for the you yourself are looking for where's the growth here?
That's right. Yeah, you should see probably a 2 year projection.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets foggy as you get further out, but. At least, you know, get an idea. And does this make sense?
Right. And it's not just pie in the sky stuff, right? You want to see some concrete evidence that
right.
this business is going to is filling a niche or is supplying something to a community that needs it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So then they get that business plan together before they even chat with you. What are you asking for when they come to you?
You know, we're going to want to see their personal tax returns. Obviously, they wouldn't have any business tax returns at this point because they're starting out in their personal financial statement. And then we want to really talk to them and understand their business and what are they trying to accomplish. I think that's the important thing, is to really understand what their goals are. And it comes down to how do we want to structure this loan to make it work for them.
Now, that seems like intimidating to me if I'm a business owner. Although I guess if I can't stand those questions, maybe that's I'm not in the right business leading a business. But it shouldn't be intimidating, right? Like I know that I think people pour their hearts into their business and
right.
they're a little afraid of hearing no, or maybe more accurately, let's look at this a little differently. Look at that a little differently. I imagine you're an approachable guy. You try and make it a comfortable situation.
Yeah, and a lot of our customers, as we develop relationships, we're about relationship banking, and that's important. They'll come to us and just float an idea by us, kind of use us as a sounding board, and they're looking for feedback. Sometimes it may not be the answer they want, but it's honest.
Mm-hmm. And do you then, once someone gives you a plan and talk, it's not like, I assume, usually you just say yay or nay. You have to do some research on your own too, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We have to do credit reports and do some financial analysis on their projections and see if it makes sense.
All right. We've got to take a break for traffic, weather, and some other stuff. But I do want to talk after the break about the types of business loans that are out there. I think we have talked about new business, but let's talk about businesses that maybe don't even realize there might be a loan out there to help them. Oh, and by the way, where can people reach you at in case they're heading out of the car right now?
My phone number?
Yeah. You don't have to give your cell phone. I mean, where? How are we to reach you on your business line, Greg?
Yep. My corporate line is 219-853-7563.
It's radio, so we say it twice. Go ahead.
219-853-7563.
7563. All right, more with Greg Bracco from People's Bank after this. First, a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld. 720 WGN 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Continuing our conversation with Greg Bracco, People's Bank Chief Business Banking Officer, talking about commercial lending. Hey, Greg, before we dive in deeper to commercial lending, People's Bank, I mean, you mentioned community banking beforehand. I mean, that's really what People's Bank is all about, right?
Right. Yeah, we're relationship banking. You know, when we meet a new client, we like to go out to their place of business so we understand it and really listen to them. Let them tell the story.
Really? You go to them?
Yeah. Yeah, we would prefer to go to them. And really want to understand their business so we can give them the right products.
That makes sense. What sorts of loans are out there for people? I know that there's a, you know, like a real estate loan makes sense, but there's other things too.
Yeah, there's lines of credit, equipment financing. There's a lot of options out there for customers.
Right. So if they need money, they come to you and you talk to them. You figure something out for them.
Right. Yeah. One of the good options for people that don't want to put a lot of cash down on a purchase would be a 504. That's the Small Business Administration loan program. Allows them to put 10% down. That's a really nice option. Allows you to save some of your capital for working capital so you don't put all your money into the project. Typically, we want to see 20 to 25% down on a real estate deal. So that's a nice option, and they get a longer-term fixed rate.
And that's through the SBA?
That's through the SBA. And through our local SBA, this past year, we were named Bank of the Year.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
And what does that mean? What gets you to that point?
We did the most loans in our local market.
Right.
SBA loans.
I mean, it just makes sense to have someone like you who understands the community that you're lending to, right?
Right.
I mean, you and I, during one of the breaks, were talking about Crown Point, all these great businesses, you and I going back and forth.
Right.
I mean, it must give you pride to visit some of the towns near you and know, I know that guy. That guy started from here, and now he's expanded to this. That must be fun.
Yeah, that means a lot. You see people in the grocery store or the kids' soccer games, and you know, you had an impact on their business and take a lot of pride in that.
Right. What sorts of people should be reaching out to you that are listening today?
You know, we deal with all types of business customers, from small customers to larger customers. So we're open to look at those deals. We do a lot of real estate financing and lines of credit, so...
Mm-hmm. And I know that obviously you're in Northwest Indiana, but People's Bank goes far beyond that as well.
That's right. We're in the Chicagoland market.
Yeah, and it's like any type of business, right? Industrial, restaurants, the craft store that's opening up. You really dive into all sorts of things.
Yeah, we look at them all, and we look at the options. There's different options for different type of stores or businesses. You know, a lot of times people want to come in and talk about interest rate, but really it's how do we structure the loan? That's what we want to look at. So we need to understand your business first and then give you the right structure. Everyone's a little bit different.
Right. Are there any like success stories or proud moments or that you have? You don't have to give any specifics. I don't want to, you know, make you reveal it. But anyone that you're like, oh, man, that one makes me feel good.
Yeah, we just won a really nice deal. We went out. It was on a referral and basically, again, went to the business owner's place of business and listened to his story. And talked about the deal and told them what we could do, and we delivered on it.
That must feel good.
Yeah, there was a lot of banks we were competing with, and we won that deal.
That's great. 110 years People's Bank has been around. You must be doing something right.
Yep.
You haven't been around for all 110, don't worry. That's great. And a regional development company in Valparaiso, that's a way to help businesses too?
Right. Yeah, that's through the Small Business Administration.
Yeah,
right.
That's great stuff. All right, any other last thoughts that you have for people that what they should know about before they apply for a loan through either you or anyone else?
No, we're open to work with customers, and you know, obviously our officers are engaged. They want to get to know your business and give you the best product.
Absolutely. All right, Greg, ipeoplesbank.com is the best place to go for the website. ibankpeoples.com. That makes way more sense. ibankpeoples.com. And the number again?
219-853-7563.
219-853. And what were the last four digits?
7563.
That's great. Greg, good to chat with you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, a little bit more after this on Your Money Matters. I think you've all heard that before. I've been screaming it from the rooftops for a while. And a week from today, May 19th, Be sure to tune into Channel 9 and watch the special 100th documentary that they're putting together to look at the station's past and present. 100 years of WGN Radio next Thursday, May 19th at 7 p.m. on WGN Channel 9. And I know from personal experience, if you scroll ahead on your cable box right now, at least on mine, I saw it in there and was able to hit the record button ahead of time just to make sure I don't forget, because at 7, we're going to be just getting off the air already, and so we're going to have to make sure to watch the last few minutes of it when we get home, but I got a DVR already, so that's great. Hey, a couple texts to get to here. We had some responses to the Facebook the settlement offer where some people are getting $397 checks. That is not nothing. I'm one of those people that, like, anytime I see a settlement that I qualify for, boom, I file it away. I get these checks for like $2 or $3, not $397. We talked to the one person who was denied immediately. 847 says, well, looky there. I just picked up my mail, and there was a check from Facebook. So not only the direct deposit folks are starting to get theirs, but some are in the mail. And if you missed the beginning of the show and you're wondering, what are we talking about? A couple years ago, Facebook in Illinois had to settle because they were using biometric data of ours that they weren't supposed to be. So they told everyone on the mountaintops, not Facebook, but the state did, hey, apply for this settlement and you're going to get a couple $100 in a couple years. Well, that time is now. And a lot of people are like, did I do it? That sounds familiar. The best way to find out, the only way that we know of at least, is if you go in your email account and enter KCC in the search bar, you might be able to find the receipt that came from the company that administered it. So enter KCC in your search bar and see if you got an email from KCCLLC.com. You may have deleted it, though, so just wait a couple weeks. They say it'll take 2 weeks to get all of the checks out. And before we go, Iridian told me I had to talk about this story because she's so bummed. Are you bummed or are you happy about it, Iridian? Thumbs up, thumbs down. No, you just jump on the air. What do you got? Are you happy about this or not? This new filter rule that's in place. Nope, I can't
I'm
hear
I'm very upset.
You're upset?
Yeah.
So here's what it is. Facebook and Instagram have turned off AR filters in Texas and Illinois. Now, I've used Facebook and Instagram. What do they mean by AR filters? What are those?
So the filters that add things to your face, like, you know, like maybe some ears or like some crazy eyes.
Oh, the goofy stuff?
Yes. All the fun stuff.
You mean augmented reality?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, David. Yes. Augmented reality.
So all the things that
so
Dave
all those filters
use.
Are now dead.
In Texas and Illinois. So they must geolocate it. Although you said is there a way around it that you can post it and then it gets tagged?
So sometimes if you do post it on the corner, it'll say, oh, this picture is filtered.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how we know.
It'll be a disclaimer.
Why are they doing this? What's the reason behind it?
I guess it's so people don't use our data, but I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's so people know that you don't really have cat ears in real life. I don't know, Iridian.
That could be it.
That could be it. Anyway, so that's from CNET, that Texas and Illinois getting rid of AR, Facebook, and Instagram. So if you notice something different, that's why. That'll do it for Your Money Matters this week.